Welcome to the Meritalking podcast, where we explore the technology and management trends shaping mission delivery across government. I'm Gail Emery. Today, we'll talk about the next phase of zero trust modernization, and specifically, how federal agencies can extend zero trust and modern network security across enterprise, tactical, and operational environments. I'm joined by John McDonald, Area Vice President for Federal with Versa Networks, and Rodney Butcher, an Account Manager with Thundercat Technologies. John and Rodney, it's great to have you here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks, Gil.
To start us off, can you give us a little background on Versa and Thundercat? John, why don't we start with you?
Yeah, so Versa Networks is a software company, really blending cybersecurity and network security together in one unified platform. Been around since about 2012, and really one of the big things or initiatives that we've been a part of over the last 4 or 5 years has been DISA's Thunderdome project, where we've been kind of the underpinning of the zero trust network access, conditional access for that program.
Great, thank you. And Rodney?
Yeah, so Thundercat's been around for about 20 years. We are a veteran-owned service disabled, small company working as a value-added reseller in the federal space. And we've been working with Versa from the very, very early days of the DISA Thunderdome acquisition and strategy. And really love the product, love what it does, and have seen it grow from, you know, just an idea to now lots of folks using it to underpin their zero trust strategy across the network. So happy to be doing this with them.
Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you. Rodney, let's stay with you for a minute. Federal agencies have been advancing zero trust for several years now. What makes this next phase of modernization different?
It's a great question. I think what's different is that the conversation has shifted from strategy to execution, right? And that the shift is forcing agencies to make real architectural decisions. For years, we've seen everybody as they were writing policies and publishing roadmaps. Now, with the 2027 federal zero trust mandate on the calendar, the funding's being allocated, leadership is asking the question of, hey, show me the progress, which means these agencies that are winning right now are the ones that are stopping the waiting, basically not waiting anymore for the perfect plan, but they're starting to deploy and just moving forward with what they know. The technology is mature, the acquisition pathways are there and they exist. So the barrier at this point is mostly organizational for a lot of agencies. And that's a leadership problem, not a technical problem.
That's great perspective. Thank you. And John, when agencies look across enterprise networks, tactical environments, and IT/OT systems, where do they see the biggest security and operational challenges, especially in environments with legacy systems, physical infrastructure, or mission-critical operations?
I think you've just laid out a lot of the problems yourself, Gail.
Right.
I mean, that's part of the problem. I think the three environments, three completely different sets of requirements, and most of these solutions, you know, were built for only one of those environments. You know, with enterprise and the 2027 mandate, it's really forcing a lot of real big architectural decisions, not just roadmaps. But I think the key problem in the enterprise is just tool sprawl. There's so many different point solutions out there that are at different levels of maturity, old versus new. Policy kind of breaks these seams down between the tools. And that's where really, you know, the adversary is operating kind of in between these sort of breaks within what's covered by one tool versus another. So, you know, really agencies need to have this kind of continued, consistent enforcement of policy across their users, devices, and applications. And you look at the tactical environment, enterprise security assumptions kind of collapse completely when you talk about operating in a denied, disrupted, intermittent, or limited tactical environment. Cloud-forward architectures really fail the moment connectivity degrades in these environments. So that kind of parlays out into what you see in the operational OT and IoT type networks as well. These are kind of new and in some cases really old. And so these old networks were really never designed to have agents placed on endpoint devices. So you've got three really disparate problems and you need to find solutions that you can kind of apply maybe to all three at once. So you can operate in a cloud environment, you can operate in a sovereign on-premise environment, you can operate in a tactical environment or in an OT, IoT environment with one solution.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree, John. For agencies securing their enterprise networks, especially the tactical environments, the IoT, OT systems, it seems like the biggest operational challenge is the tension between modernizing the defense and maintaining physical uptime. Like you said, this is compounded by the integration of IT with physical environments and operational technologies, the OT out there, where outdated systems face active real-world targeting. So thinking brownfield environments, where you got unpatchable systems, you got IT/OT convergence, attack surface expansion, shadow IT blind spots, for example, operational continuity versus the real-world impact, right? So what happens when the system goes down versus can I take an outage? And then supply chain. So for agencies, securing these environments requires a proactive approach that prioritizes not only the network segmentation, the zero trust identity management, but also behavioral anomaly detection. Versa Networks is the solutions provided across the network are specifically designed to do this and do it in one central location. So like you said, John, you can hit it, whether it be the cloud, on-prem, or a hybrid approach to both of those.
Agencies clearly have a lot of ground to cover as they're thinking about zero trust and implementing across their enterprises. Rodney, let's stick with you for another minute here. Tell us, how can SD-WAN, Secure Access Service Edge, Security Service Edge, automation, AI, and other capabilities that support zero trust modernization help agencies address these challenges, helping them simplify operations while also improving visibility and control across the enterprise?
Another great question. And I think John, hit this on the head when he's talked about this a little bit before, because the core problem that I think we see within most federal environments is the tool sprawl, right? So agencies have accumulated dozens of point solutions over the years, a firewall here, a VPN there, several policy engines somewhere else. And now they have staff and people whose entire job is to stitch these things together. Versa One was designed to collapse that. And when you unify the SD-WAN, the SASE, the SSE components in a single platform with a single policy engine and a single management interface, you're not just reducing the cost, you're fundamentally improving your security posture because now your policies are consistent across the network everywhere. Wherever the user's sitting, whether it be at a headquarters location, connected at home, if they're assessing an application in a forward operating base, it doesn't matter. They're getting the same policy and structure tied to the object of who the user is, what device they're on. And then you add in the AI-driven telemetry across the full stack, and now you're really getting visibility into behavior, device posture, application usage that most agencies have never really had before. That's what's been proven across programs like DISA Thunderdome. DISA cleared all 152 zero trust benchmarks, and a big part of how they got there was consolidated into an architecture that enforced policy uniformly across the network environment. I don't know if you had any, if you want to add anything to that, John, but
the thing with what Versa's advantage has been, I mean, a couple of things. When you look at how a lot of different vendors out there, and there's a lot of great vendors out there, how they approach the problems of, in the cybersecurity, but it's the combination of cybersecurity and networking, secure networking. So some people come at it from the approach of the cybersecurity angle, some come at it from networking. That's really where Versa started. And I think the idea kind of and the solution to the problem set that Versa is really looking to tackle is that if we can get in line in the network, we can do really unique, interesting things about routing traffic, steering traffic, doing very interesting things across the SD-WAN. I mean, and I would say that in 90% of the opportunities that we get involved in, it's SD-WAN that is the core heart of really where customers want to start their network transformation, zero trust journey. From there, you can now start applying next-gen firewall, IDS, IPS, and layering on different technologies. We do a lot of things with Versa One, but some customers want to use an existing vendor. And that's, I think, the beauty of Versa One as well is, we're open standards, non-proprietary, API calls, so that you can have a variety of different vendors that can plug into our platform and then continue to extend this, unified platform out to customers. And really, the other thing too, I think, for DISA, when looking at Thunderdome, was the idea of multi-tenancy. And a lot of people don't really understand how important it can be, but to be able to effectively segment different customers' from each other within the same network is a very important component of zero trust. And we're able to do this seamlessly because the platform was essentially designed for service providers who do this every single day. And so multi-tenancy, really good networking, and then applying enforceable policy throughout the environment. And that's really where I think is interesting is that local enforcement or enforcement anywhere applications live. And the idea behind Versa is to be able to allow any user to access any data through any application anywhere. And that's really what we're able to enable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, John, I was going to say the, you know, by replacing, and we see this, right? Like we see this with our customers, the replace the legacy perimeter centric models with a modern cloud delivered or on-prem or really a hybrid architecture. It takes these capabilities like SD-WAN, SASE, and SSE and help agencies meet the mandates such as the TIC 3.0, CISA, the DoD Zero Trust mandates, OMB mandates. They basically simplify operations by eliminating the need to backhaul that traffic while using AI and automation to continuously verify identity and inspect threats at machine speed. And that's what Versa does across the network, as you mentioned. And because it can be consumed centrally from lots of different models and it plugs in with lots of existing partner ecosystems, it becomes a no-brainer for moving your traffic at speed and not have to think so much about it while still being compliant and risk averse.
Great, thank you. And John, let's talk a little bit more about what happens as agencies extend across the enterprise when they're extending secure connectivity into tactical environments, for example, whether those are satellite communications, comms on the move, autonomous systems, or disconnected and degraded conditions. What changes as agencies extend across these types of environments?
Yeah, Gail, I think everything changes. You know, the enterprise playbook, it doesn't survive first contact with the tactical edge. Standard SASE assumes that continuous connectivity with a managed device, and neither of those two things are guaranteed downrange. Really, the idea of DDoL, as I explained before, with disrupted, denied, intermittent, and limited communications, which all happen in a tactical environment, you can't assume that you're going to be able to reach a point of presence for policy enforcement out in the tactical edge. And so you need to enforce security policy locally at the edge when you're disconnected. And then when you resynchronize and connect again, you can then cleanly have updates to the policy. So comms on the move, when you're in the tactical environment, endpoints are constantly moving and shifting through different networks potentially, and they may be then disrupted or without communication. And so they've got to be able to operate independently, not connected to the rest of the network. So, you know, and then you get into autonomous systems, autonomy and autonomous vehicles. Now you have a whole other slew of challenges in these types of environments. So I think the real idea here is with Versa, we're able to take the same exact platform that we deploy in an enterprise on-premise environment or an enterprise cloud. We can deploy that in a tactical edge network, same software deployed to do all of those things of local policy enforcement and keep users connected safely and securely throughout their environment. You know, the idea here is that the same problems exist in some cases in many of these different types of environments. And there are unique challenges as well in some of these areas. But if you have one essential ability to secure your network and to enforce zero trust policies down to the user level with the same set of software, there's a huge advantage there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, John, that's especially true with some of the stuff Versa's doing and the capability that can run autonomously even in a disconnected environment for a long period of time. As that requirement came up with different customers, Versa was very, very quick to jump on that and work with the customer to find ways to better extend that capability to where now it's not even an issue. That's unique in and of itself. And that's extending the secure connectivity into tactical environments, right? So the DDoL conditions. And a lot of those times they require a paradigm shift from centralized cloud-dependent architectures to decentralized resilient network, which is what Versa provides, the resilient networks. So the defining priority shift from total connectivity to mission continuity and graceful degradation, where Versa Network Solutions is providing that today, is, yeah, there's not a lot of people that can do that.
Yeah, and it's pretty interesting too, because if you look at just the types of different types of transport and ways to connect, that's one of the strengths, I think, of Versa and the solution is that the ability to connect, whether it be point to point, hub to spoke, spoke to hub, to line of sight, satellite. There's just a variety of different ways that we can connect users throughout different types of networks. And we can, as they degrade, we can move to alternate networks as well. The idea of PACE with a primary, alternate, contingent, and emergency network, we can move users all through that seamlessly with the SD-WAN component of Versa One. So that's a really huge strength, I think, ultimately in the tactical space as well.
Great, thank you. I'd like to circle back to Thunderdome. We talked a little bit about that, the Zero Trust Architecture program of the Defense Information Systems Agency. Rodney, what can federal leaders learn about turning Zero Trust concepts into this operational reality from large-scale efforts like Thunderdome?
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna go back to kind of what John was saying earlier, that the first big lesson is, don't wait till you have the perfect idea, right? There's a lot of pieces that are in the ecosystem today that they can use to start leveraging Zero Trust. But the other big lesson from Thunderdome is that it's an open architecture, right? And that open architecture will help win. So DISA didn't go out and try to find one vendor to solve every problem. They architected for interoperability from day one. So, right? Best of breed technologies that could work together under a unified policy framework. That's where DISA Thunderdome kind of really took off and started having a lot of strong success. By doing that, Versa was selected as the SD-WAN and the Zero Trust Network Architecture layer because the platform was built for the kind of environment that DISA was deploying. So they got integrated, and Versa, it didn't lock them in because the way it was architected was an open architecture for interoperability, but it gave them a very, very strong SD-WAN play for how they were delivering their networks and how they were utilizing things like multi-tenancy and ZTNA. The second lesson is that you really got to be willing to deploy and iterate, right? So Thunderdome wasn't designed in the lab and then switched on at scale. It was built incrementally with real-world feedback from real users and real environments. So leaders who are still waiting for that architecture to be perfect before deploy are going to miss the mandates, right? So don't try to get it perfect. Don't try to bake it in. Do what you can, turn what you can on, leverage the tools that are out there because they're very mature. Just kind of get that starting point. SD-WAN for a lot of things in Thunderdome was that starting point because it was how do we connect these different networks together? And Versa did it in such a way that not only was really able to work with the legacy network and the network routing protocols, but also brought forward the SD-WAN theories and capabilities that they were looking to do at scale. So Booz Allen Hamilton, they brought that system integration into depth, and then partners like Thundercat working with Booz and the DISA team and the Versa team to bring the acquisition vehicles and federal mission experience where we could kind of collaborate and show the customer, hey, here's how you can do it. Here's how you can get this out. Here's how we can do it at scale. So it really was no single company that does it all, but if you get the partners and you get the right mix, I think you can build towards an outcome together that will deliver the same kind of capabilities that DISA Thunderdome did, whether it be through the acquisition path, the technology path, or just the contract vehicle that they need to get done for their zero trust mandates.
Yeah, and I think, Ronnie, that's it's an interesting point. I think there's some confusion too with people around what Thunderdome actually is. I mean, it's a number of things. I mean, at the heart of it or the core, it's a procurement vehicle for people to buy zero trust solutions effectively, starting for defense customers to be able to buy commodity IT for both Zipper and Nipper. And that's kind of how it started. And the architecture behind Thunderdome, so it's also kind of an architecture. And what's I think has been interesting and what kind of validates the success of where Thunderdome started. And as it moves kind of, I think, into the fourth, fifth year, is that now Thunderdome's kind of morphed and extended into other network areas. So they've just stood up officially Portfolio Acquisition Executive Mission Partner Environment. So the MPE. MPE is the idea of being able to now stitch together coalition partners with different levels of conditional access. So you may have foreign coalition partners as well as US military that now on an exercise can now share data across the environment. And now the extension and recent announcement at TechNet Cyber in Baltimore in early June that now this is going to extend and put together CommandNet. And CommandNet will be under the same type of architecture that Thunderdome was built upon to now connect over Zipper the various joint combatant commands. So I think what you're seeing is a validation and proof point that Thunderdome, which started off as an OTA, went through pilot for about a year and then was greenlit as a program, has now kind of morphed and shown success. I think at this point, or the last count that I had, it had been deployed in over 500 sites around the world, saved about $300 million plus against what GRSS was previously, which was the program that Thunderdome really replaced. And at this point, I think it's about 7 MILDEPs or DAFAs, defense field activities and agencies that have now deployed. And I think it'll extend out to about 11. So the span and scope of what Thunderdome started at to where it is today is really picking up a lot of speed and momentum. And I think it just validates the architecture that has been laid down by all the partners that have played a part. And again, it's not just Versa. We may be at the centerpiece of the Zero Trust network access, but there's a lot of partners that have really contributed to help make this a really successful mission program within DISA.
Those are some impressive numbers. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, sure.
And John, let's stay with you for a moment.
Yeah.
To close us out today, tell us, as agencies move from planning to execution, what are some practical steps that will help them reduce risk and make measurable progress with Zero Trust faster?
Yeah, I think there's three things. And I think the common thread is really stop planning and start deploying, start moving forward on this, because it's not a fast process. But the good news is that there has been a lot of work that has been done. And I'll tell you, one of the first things that I do when I talk to customers is I encourage government to government discussions about people, you know, like DISA or other folks, other customers that have deployed Versa in a similar style. Talk government to government to understand lessons learned and things that have happened in the past and how they, that customer may accelerate their Zero Trust journey along the way by just understanding some of the pitfalls and some of the things that went right for certain agencies that have done this. So I would say treat Zero Trust kind of as a series of deployments, not just a single program. Get a few wins under your belt. Pick a piece of your network. Pick a remote site, pick something that can give you some experience without maybe the intensity of trying to do it across your entire enterprise. And then again, like I just said, leverage what's already been validated. Thunderdome, in fact, is a contract vehicle. So if an agency wants to achieve some of the same Zero Trust strategies and meet the mandate, it's kind of an easy button in the sense that DISA will help scope out what you're trying to accomplish and figure out if that's the right, you know, what the right architecture is for you, and kind of pick from the menu of things that you want to do to enable that. So leverage what's been validated, use government to government agencies. And this all kind of comes around getting your acquisition strategy right from before you even start. And so again, investigate. There's a multitude of different ways that you can bring an idea to reality. And I think partners like, you know, Thundercat are a great place to start on that. I mean, Thundercat has been doing this for a very long time and has connections throughout the vendor community, throughout the customer community, and really has a great ability and a great cyber practice, by the way, to help you understand what your options are and figuring out a strategy that makes sense for you and your timeline and your budget. So I think it's a mixture of really at the key collaboration between the vendor community, the value-added reseller FSI community, and government-to-government interactions to take all these lessons learned, apply them, and then start marching forward towards the deadline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, John, I just add from a transitions, you know, from agency seamlessly transitioning from planning to execution, right? They got to prioritize and establish clear requirements and owner accountability. Then by doing that, you can reduce risk by setting strict, measurable program milestones and accelerate velocities through agile methodologies and consistent stakeholder communication, right? And we can highlight that by what Thundercat and Versa networks have been able to do with a number of other agencies and customers like the DISA Thunderdome. So as you mentioned, DISA Thunderdome has kind of evolved and grown through a couple different things, from pilot to OTA to now it's, you know, it's full-scale program record. There's multiple things I don't think people understand that they can either procure that as a solution from DISA, simply hands off, send money over, DISA will stand up a service for you, or they can stand it up and they say, hey, we want these components, but not everything, and then cater it to meet your needs. For example, the tools that you mentioned that they have in their solution set, those tools are designed to meet the 152 benchmark controls for DoD Zero Trust. If you've got a tool in your ecosystem and you want to use that tool over the tool that, say, DISA picked, that's fine. because it'll integrate in there and they can swap things in and out pretty easily. That'll make that really easy for you to either control that contract yourself, get the services, maybe get some of the tools, but not all the tools. So it's very unique in terms of how they can deliver this at scale and at speed. And we've seen that when we've talked to a number of customers to show immediate impact on their Zero Trust strategy with a proven solution that's already accredited, already deployed, so they can use existing procurement vehicles like Thunderdome or their own. There's tons of them out there that help speed up the process while reducing the risk to providing a measurable progress in their Zero Trust strategy.
Yeah, I mean, the technology's ready. The acquisition pathways exist. The only thing that's really slowing agencies down, really, at this point, is their own decision cycle and pulling the trigger to start moving forward on this. And so, all of us, I think, unified from the vendor community through the partner community, we're all here to help. And so, we really, welcome opportunity for government outreach to us to say, hey, give me a solution or help me figure this out. And that's again where I think we can help as Versa and Thundercat together could help really give you an idea what the realm of the possible is.
I like that. The realm of the possible. I think that's a great way to close out today. John and Rodney, thank you so much for joining us today for this really interesting conversation about how Zero Trust spans networks, environments, and use cases, and for some very practical guidance about moving from strategy to execution in ways that support agency missions. It's really been a pleasure.
Thank you, Gail.
Thank
Appreciate
you,
it.
Gail.
Thanks, Rodney.
Yeah, John, thank you, Gail, thank you. This was awesome. Hopefully, we can do it again.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Sounds good. That's all we have for today. To learn more about Zero Trust modernization, visit thundercattech.com/partners/Versa. Have a great day. And please join us for another episode of Meritalking soon.